Hello, everybody. Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Hey, we're so glad you're here with us today. We are continuing in a series called Talking About Stuff That Matters. Now, in this series, Rick looks into the scriptures, and he's unpacking what it means to live in community, have real conversation about what matters most, and face discouragement with courage and faith. It's honest, hopeful, so stay tuned. You won't want to miss a second. So let's get to it. Here is the final part of a message called Being a Disciple in the Digital Age.
You know, this thing about addiction, it was really funny. This week, Josh, my son, sent me an article from Wired Magazine. He knew I was teaching on this. And it was an article defending the internet and online and all these different things, gaming and social media stuff, saying none of these things are really addicting. I'm going, what universe are you on? The guy said, none of these things are really addicting. Do you know anything about dopamine? None of these things are really addicting. And then I looked at the bottom and who wrote it. And I said, I know that name. Where do I know that name from? I think he wrote a book. I think I read it about 5 years ago. And I went back and I went in my library and I found a book by the guy who said none of these things are addicting. And he wrote this book 5 years ago. Hooked, How to Build Habit-Forming Products. I'm going, busted. He had written a book on how do you build. Believe me, night and day, advertisers are trying to figure out how to get you hooked. So you'll keep coming back, so you keep seeing their ads. You keep seeing their ads. Let me give you one more. One more hazard. I can be distracted from what's most important. If I spend 11 years of my life looking at a screen, a phone screen, a smart screen, I can be distracted. Oh, excuse me just a minute. Yes. Hello? No, I'm sorry. I'm preaching right now. Yeah, okay. Yes, I will bring the milk and bread. Bye-bye. Okay. Now, you will pick up a phone anytime, anywhere. And if you allow this little thing to interrupt anything else in your life, this has become your God. If you allow this to interrupt anything, you'll pick it up. Well, I won't say all the things you could pick it up doing, but you could pick it up. It means I really value this more than I value anything else in my life because nothing will keep me from picking up the phone. It's become my God. Who owns the phone? Do you own the phone or does it own you? Who's the master and who's the slave? Which is the tool and which is the owner, the master? If this can interrupt you anytime, then this thing is running your life. It's running your life. I can allow things to distract me from what's most important. There's an interesting story in the Bible. Jesus had a friend named Lazarus, and Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived together in a home in Bethany. Bethany is a small town near Jerusalem in Israel. Jesus was in Jerusalem. I've been to both these cities, of course, and you can walk from Jerusalem to Bethany in a half a day. It's just not that far. You can get there. Lazarus got very sick, deathly sick. In fact, he was almost dead. And word was sent to Jesus, Lord, come to our house in Bethany. Because they thought if Jesus gets here, he can heal Lazarus. We know it. He's healed people before. And Jesus was in Jerusalem. Instead of getting there in a half day, it took him 3 days to get there. What was he doing? He's walking around. He's talking to other people. He's ministering to people, something like that. Jesus didn't want to get there to heal Lazarus. He wanted to get there to raise Lazarus from the dead. He wanted to do a bigger miracle. So he waited until Lazarus had died. So finally, after Lazarus dies, he shows up at Mary and Martha's house in Bethany. And as he walks into the house, Mary sits down at the feet of Jesus and just starts listening to him talk. Martha goes, we ought to have a meal. And she gets up and she starts preparing everything. And she's all busy and all messed up and very flustered and worried. And here's how the story goes in the Bible, Luke chapter 10, verse 40 to 42. Mary sat quietly at Jesus' feet, listening to everything he said. Friends, you need to do that every day of your life. You need to sit at Jesus' feet, listening to everything he says. That's called a quiet time. You sit quietly with this book, and you pray, and you read, and you pray, and you read, and you do it every day. And you say, God, is there anything you want to tell me today? And you let God speak to you. You check in with the commander-in-chief on a daily basis. Mary sat quietly at Jesus' feet, that's quiet time, listening to everything he said. But Martha was distracted. You might circle that word. She was distracted by all she had to do. And she said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha's having a pity party. And Jesus, I think Jesus says it like this, Martha, 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 you are worried and you're too distracted by many things. But really, Martha, there's only one thing that is truly important, and Mary chose it. If you have an opportunity to look at your phone and your social media or spend time sitting quietly at the feet of Jesus, what are you going to choose? If an average American is spending 3.4 hours a day looking at this, how much time are you spending alone with Jesus? Something's out of whack here. Why do you spend more time with stuff you don't believe than with someone and something you do believe? There might need to be a realignment in your life of how much input am I getting from the truth that sets me free and how much input am I getting from lives that make me stressed out. 3.4 hours here. I don't know anybody spending 3.4 hours with Jesus Christ every day. Well, that shows in our lifestyle. It shows in how we're doing. I can be distracted from what's most important. Now, that's the negative side. I want to talk to you, and actually Tom's going to help me with this, just quickly summarize five ways that you can use your phone for the glory of God.
So, based on what Pastor Rick's been teaching us, do we need to take a sledgehammer to our cell phones? No. How do I use it for good? How can I use my smartphone for God's glory? I'm going to share the first few of these, and then Pastor Rick's going to come back and end this message. If you've been around Saddleback for any time, you know that God has given us five purposes to live for. Not eight, not two. The Bible clearly reveals five specific purposes. So my cell phone, my smartphone, how can I use it to fulfill those purposes? This is purpose-driven smartphones, purpose-driven technology, all right? Five things. Number one, we're going to go through these quickly. Number one, you use it to express my worship. I use the technology that God's put in my hands to express my worship. God has not told us where we have to worship. He's told us that we have to worship. And he's also told us the heart we need in worship. Look at what Jesus said about this up on the screen. Jesus taught us that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So that's something I need to take into my life, all of my life. Not just once a week when I come to worship, but true worship is in spirit and in truth all through the day, all through my life. Look at this next verse. Proverbs 25 says, all day long I put my hope and trust in you. So because I've got my phone with me all day long, it can help me all day long to put my hope and trust in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of different ways that you can do that. You can use songs. You can listen to songs all throughout the day. You can, in your car, listen to the favorite song you have, turn it up really loud and sing along with it. When I do that, I really think I can sing. I can't sing. But if you put it up really loud, I feel like I can sing, and you should do that. You can find new songs. You can share songs that you're hearing with other people. You use it to express my worship. Worship is singing, but worship is a lot of other things. Worship is giving. I don't know if you knew that you can actually commit to give, to tithe on your cell phone. Is it any greater a commitment if you make it here or you make it on your cell phone? No, it's about your spirit. It's about your heart. It's not where, it's what God's doing in your life. So yeah, I use it to express my worship. Number two, I use it to encourage fellowship, to encourage connection with other people. The very thing that can sometimes break connection our smartphones. We can use it to enhance, to encourage connection. Romans 12:10 says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Anytime you honor someone, you are taking delight in something that God takes delight in, and you're encouraging, you're enhancing fellowship. You're strengthening fellowship. Social media is not a place to show off, as Rick has been telling us. It's a place to show up in other people's lives. And it's a place to show up especially with encouragement, because we all need encouragement every day. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage each other and give each other strength. So instead of looking to social media as a place where you can get encouragement, that dose of encouragement that you need, look to it as a place where you can give encouragement to other people. When you feel discouraged throughout the day, let me give you just a prescription. The best thing you can do is look for somebody to encourage. Immediately grab your phone and encourage somebody else and watch how God multiplies what God wants to do through the fellowship in your life. Third thing you can do is you use it to enhance my spiritual growth. Express my worship, encourage fellowship, and number three, I use it to enhance my spiritual growth. I use it so that I can get closer to Christ on a daily basis because I have this with me on a daily basis. Grow, 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in spiritual strength and become better acquainted with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there are so many ways to do this with the technology that God has given to us. So many, hundreds of apps, probably thousands upon thousands of apps and websites that you can go to. Places where you can do Bible studies, places where you can value God's word in your life. Proverbs tells us that it's better to, much better to have wisdom and knowledge than to have gold or silver. And when you value God's word in your life, you're valuing spiritual growth in your life. I've talked to a lot of people over the years. They struggle with spiritual growth. I think all of us do. And one of the reasons we struggle is we try to grow spiritually based on one day a week. I just come one day a week, I learn it all, and then I'm going to grow spiritually. And it's not going to work. It's like trying to have a meal one day a week, great big meal on the weekend. I starve the rest of the week, and I think I'm going to be physically healthy. With the tools God has given us, you can bring them into your life every day. Things like Daily Hope that Pastor Rick has done. Bible says in Psalm 119:37, keep me from looking at worthless things and let me live by your word. So it's just this choice. Is what I'm looking at now, is it worthless or is it worthwhile? Is it worthwhile for my spiritual growth? And then number four, fourth purpose of life is ministry, so I use it to expand my ministry. I use it to expand my ministry. I start to think of social media as a place where I can serve others. Jesus said I didn't come to be served, but to serve others. So social media is not a place for you to be served. It's a place for you to serve other people. Psalm 116:12 says, what can I give back to God for all the blessings that he's poured out to me? So what can I give back to others for God's blessings through social media? If I learn something, how can I share it with somebody else? If I read an article that helps me grow, how can I share it with somebody else? Rick talked earlier about people who want to argue with you. How can you minister to them? I'll tell you how. You can pray for them. When they want to argue with you, you pray for them. Now, don't tell them you're praying for them because they want to argue with you about that. I'll promise you, they will. But you just choose to pray for them, and you are ministering to them as you do that. And then the fifth thing you can do, and Rick's going to come and talk to us about this, write this in with me, is I use it to extend my witness.
I use it to extend my witness. You know, Saddleback has always been an early adopter of every technology. When we started using, when fax machines were first came out like in 1980, I think there were like four fax machines in the world. I started a thing called the Fax of Life. And it was a daily devotional for business leader. We would fax it out 24 hours a day. Saddleback was the first church on the internet. 1992, it was long before Internet Explorer or Netscape or anything like that. We were using FTP and Gopher and Mosaic, those of you guys who knew that. We were the first church on the internet. But I have to admit that I was a late adapter to social media because it sounded so self-centered. One of my staff, who was the director of technology at the time for Saddleback Church, pastor here, brilliant guy. He wrote the Microsoft certification test, and he was on staff at Saddleback Church, the test that everybody at Microsoft has to take. And he came to me, he said, Rick, there's this new thing coming out called Twitter. And he goes, it's going to be a big deal, big platform. You should get on it. You can influence a lot of people. And I said, what does it do? He said, well, in a few sentences, you just tell people what you're doing at that point in your life. I said, are you kidding me? I said, that sounds like the most narcissistic thing I could ever think of. I said, you know, I don't want people knowing everything I do. They shouldn't care what I do. They should be thinking about their own lives. And so I didn't go on it for many years. Now, he actually put my name in their reserved account. When I years later went on Twitter, I had 60,000 followers and had never Twittered anything, or tweeted anything. But what changed my mind about social media, because it just seemed, you know, the opposite of it's not about you. Because social media is so much, it's all about you. And I'm going, I'm not interested in that kind of channel. But I went up and I was doing a funeral for a very well-known Christian leader. And I was doing it up in Pasadena. And the other pastor who was doing the funeral with me was a guy named John Piper, a very well-known pastor from the East Coast. John's one of the most humble guys I've ever known in my life. Certainly not on any kind of ego, self-promotion idea. And he leans over to me while we're on stage. He goes, at the funeral, he goes, Rick, I'm on Twitter. I looked at him and go, you got to be kidding me. Because it didn't just fit his personality. I said, what in the world are you doing that? He says, I use it to mentor people. Ding, the light goes on. And I go, that I can do. You will never see me with a picture of a celebrity on Twitter. You will never see me posting my little latte and stuff like that. What I do is I use social media to encourage people. Like a recent tweet I did, I said, sometimes God removes people from your life for your own protection. Don't run after them. A lot of people needed that. A lot of people needed that. And that's the kind of thing you can do. Now, the fifth thing you can do, as Tom said, is this extends your witness. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 20, through Christ, God has made peace between us and himself. And he gave us the work of telling everyone about the peace we can have with him. That's called witnessing. Gave us the work of telling everybody else about the peace we can have with God. So we have been sent out to speak for Christ. Look at the next verse. 1 Chronicles 16:24. Publish God's glorious deeds among every nation. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Now, friends, you and I have an advantage over every other Christian who's lived for 2,000 years. You and I have an advantage over every believer who's ever lived throughout history. We have a tool that literally can go all around the world. Jesus said, go make disciples of every nation. Who was he talking to? You. Every single believer. If you're a believer, you are to be a witness. You are to be an ambassador. You are to share what you know about your life with the whole world. Now, for 2,000 years, to go to the whole world meant you had to get on a steamship and go for 6 months to travel to another country to tell somebody. Or, in recent years, get on a plane and travel around the world to tell somebody about the good news of the Lord. Today, you don't have to leave your home. You can sit at home in your bedroom, in your PJs, and say a good word about the Lord, and it goes to the entire globe. That is a benefit, a blessing, and a responsibility we have no other Christians have ever had in history. You can talk to the whole world. You can be a witness to the whole world through social media. Jesus said, you will be my witness. If you do it on Twitter, you will be my twitness. So God wants all of us to be twitnesses, to be witnesses of the whole world. And you can do this. You can do this. Let's bow our heads. Would you pray? Say, God, I want to be a disciple in the digital age. I don't want to waste precious time, the time of my life. I don't want to be seduced by the world's values. I want to be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. I don't want to be drawn into unproductive arguments. Help me to not be tempted to compete and show off. I don't want to be addicted to the approval of others. And I don't want to be distracted from what's most important. So God, help me to use my phone to express my worship all day long. Help me to use my phone to encourage fellowship, to look for people to encourage and show love to and to honor others. Help me to use my phone to enhance my spiritual growth, to listen to good messages, to read good material, to buy good Christian solid books. Help me to use my phone to expand my ministry. And when I'm discouraged, to look for other people to encourage and to offer a helping hand to those who need comfort. And Lord, I want you to use me to extend my witness. I want to publish the good news. And when I get to heaven, I want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. You shared the good news with other people around the world. And so I commit to doing that today. In your name, I pray. If you're not a believer, if you haven't opened your life to Christ, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life today. I want to know you. I want to learn to trust you and love you. And I pray this in your name. Amen.
Hey, if you've just prayed along with Rick to accept Jesus in your life, Rick would love to hear from you. Just email rick@pastorrick.com. Hey, do you know someone who's graduating this year? Maybe it's your son, a daughter, grandchild, perhaps a neighbor, or even a family friend. As you celebrate this important milestone, and as they begin the next phase of their journey, they need to know that God created them, loves them, and has a plan for their life. So that's why Rick Warren created a special resource just for graduates called The Purpose-Driven Life, Selected Thoughts and Scriptures for the Graduate. It's filled with inspirational scripture, biblical wisdom from Rick, and beautiful imagery. This unique hardcover gift book provides a priceless reminder of the bountiful life that God has planned for your graduate, and it's going to inspire them to seek His unique plan and purpose for their life. So please, don't miss this opportunity to minister to the graduate in your life today. Be sure to request your copy of The Purpose-Driven Life for Graduates when you give a gift to Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. And we thank you so much for your support. It helps us share the hope of Christ with people all around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.